We're going to continue on the study on the Lord's second coming. Two weeks ago, we started a mini-series within that, examining post-millennialism. And we looked at a few details with that, and we're going to look at a few more today. Actually, we looked at premillennialism prior to that. And we kind of looked at, as you see on the chart there, they have the Old Testament period, they have the crucifixion of Christ, the 70 AD, Great Tribulation, destruction of Jerusalem, and you can kind of see where it kind of, the millennium begins, and it kind of graphs, gradually gets better, if you will, in their view until Christ returns. And so we kind of looked at post-millennialist view on the new covenant, and we looked at Jeremiah 31:31-34. Post-millennialists believe that the new covenant is made in the blood of Christ, where premillennialist it's not fully taken effect until the Jews are within that new covenant, and so it's not fully in effect yet. The old covenant, postmillennialists believe the old covenant was abolished and the new covenant has started. The new covenant began at Christ's death. According to Hebrews chapter 9, the new covenant pertains to the church and not to Israel. And then some postmillennialists, not all of them, will hold to replacement theology. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Replacement theology is Israel is replaced by the church and the prophecies are now fulfilled in the church. Okay, and so that's the replacement theology. Again, as we're going through this, this is what some of the information that I've gathered from what their stance is. Their stance on the Great Tribulation, Matthew 24:20-21. Postmillennialists believe that the period of the Great Tribulation there was a period of Great Tribulation upon the earth.
And they yet to come.
No, they believe that it is on that generation. They believe that was that generation where in verse 34 Jesus spoke that the generation would not pass away until or not die until that Great Tribulation took place. That's what postmillennialists believe, yeah. It was a 70 AD was the Great Tribulation. And so they also reference Exodus 11 where the is spoken of a great cry or tribulation of Egypt in the days of Moses, and it talks about how there's not going to be another one in Egypt again. And such a great cry as there has been and never will be again. And so the tribulation that is speaking of in Matthew 24 is not referring to a worldwide tribulation, but specifically to a certain group of people. Okay, and so they're going to hold to this. It's dealing with Israel at that time. And some more information we looked at. The context of Matthew 24 is referring to the physical destruction of the destruction of the physical temple, according to Matthew 24, verse 2. Verse 15, the abomination of desolation is going to come before the generation passes away, before those who Jesus is speaking to dies. We reference that in verse 34. And then Luke 21, which is a parallel passage, references the abomination of desolation as the Roman army, and that was the coming to destroy the temple, and that's what postmillennialists believe that the abomination of desolation was, is the Roman army. And then the nations rising against nations, and as Mark 13 is another parallel passage of Matthew 24, the kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation is the war between Rome and Israel, not something that's still going to happen in the future. And according to postmillennialists, again, more on the Great Tribulation, they believe that the tribulation is on the Jews was to fulfill prophecy, according to Luke 21, verse 21-24, and God destroyed them because they rejected the Messiah. Mark 13, they reference that the end that Jesus refers to is the end of the old covenant, not the end of the age, and that's what the conclusion that the postmillennialists will come to there and argue there. Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2, the last days refer to the last days of the old covenant or of Israel. Okay, and that's what Jesus appeared to us in the last days is what it says there. And so that's what they're saying, is that he appeared during the last days, right? At the last days of the old covenant in Israel, and to initiate the new covenant. And so in verse Matthew 24, 27, and 28, the coming of the Son of Man is Jesus coming on through the Roman army to destroy the Jews. So they'll reference the coming of the Son of Man, or the you want to call it the second coming. The times it talks about that is referring to, well, I guess I got some posts here, or some bullets here, I guess, again. In Revelation 1, it talks about all the tribes of the earth, referring to Israel. They're going to mourn. And so Jesus' coming then is him coming on the Jews and him destroying the Jews through the Roman army. And we looked at in Mark 13, the tribulation was cut short for the sake of the church, is what the sake of the elect it talks about there. Revelation 7, 9 through 15, post-millennialists will think that, and again, when I say post-millennialists will think this, this is kind of a broad majority view of this. So Revelation 7, the Great Tribulation referred to there is the same that Jesus refers to in Matthew 24. Okay, and so then those who keep the faith through that end, or through that time, all the way to the end, will be saved. Okay, is what they're saying. How is the conclusion that they come to, and then it's referenced as the white robe of Revelation chapter 7 that they are going to receive. Okay, so any questions on that review that maybe we didn't touch
on?
I
think all the tribulation has happened.
All the tribulation has happened, yeah. The post-millennialists think that. Okay, so we're going to continue examining post-millennialism again. We're going to talk about Satan being bound. Let's turn to Revelation 20. And again, there's some things that I will agree with them on. There's other things that I won't. And but both post-millennialists and premillennialists will believe this. If we read verse 1 through 3 of Revelation 20, please.
And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the abyss, and shut it, and sealed it over him, so that he could not deceive the nations any longer, until 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time.
Okay, so both post-millennialists and premillennialists believe that Satan is going to be bound at the beginning of the millennium, or the 1,000 years. Okay, now, when that happens, the disagreement is when that's going to happen. A premillennialist is going to think, like we've studied, it's going to happen in the future. Post-millennialists actually think that it has already happened. And turn to Hebrews chapter 2. And so they're going to... again, reference that Satan is bound or limited to deceiving the nations. I mean, that's what it says in Revelation 20, that after he's released, he's going to deceive the nations. So he's bound somehow from deceiving the nations. In verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 2, someone wants to read that, please.
Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil.
Okay, so Satan, Jesus rendered Satan powerless by his death. Okay, and so the post-millennialist will hold that by Christ's death, Satan is bound. Okay, where a premillennialist is going to say it's something in the future still, and so there's a disagreement there on where that is. But with that said, a post-millennialist that doesn't believe, the kingdom doesn't fully begin until after Jerusalem was destroyed. Okay, and we're going to look at some things on that here in a minute. I have something else there. Yeah, continuing on Satan being bound there. So we'll pull up this chart here again. So you see the chart, that's why they have the Great Tribulation, 70 AD, The destruction of Jerusalem, referencing Matthew 24 there. And then you can see there on their graph the line and the Satan being bound, the millennial reign of Christ begins. Now this is also can be kind of, you can probably look at some charts or timelines that are going to vary in this, because I mean it all is going to depend on whether you're hyper preterist or partial preterist or full preterist or preter millennialist. Now that's a lot of different variations there, because some of them are going to have the millennium. Some of them have the millennium being the 40 years between Christ's death and the destruction of Jerusalem, and then you have the continuation of time after that, the present age. Okay, and so when Jesus refers to neither in this age nor the age to come, it's referring to the different ages after that. Now, I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just saying there's different variations. But the most part, as this chart here is a reconstruction post-millennialist view, where it's going to have the kingdom beginning at 70 AD and the kingdom progressing, where a former Puritan post-millennial view has the time that we're in, and then there's a 1,000 years towards the end of the before Christ returns that it gets really good. The Reconstructionists think that this kind of continues on all the way through. Preterists is going to think that, I mean, there are Reconstructionists that are preterists, and so that can kind of vary on depending on whether they're full preterists or partial preterists, and so that'll determine some of the minor details. But this is going to be kind of the basic view that's going to kind of get a lot of the main thoughts of post-millennialists in here. So again, you might find someone that's maybe a little bit different than what this chart is here, but this is going to be kind of a main thought. I know this can be a little bit confusing, but we'll try not to touch too much on the little variations, but kind of the main point. So Satan's bound after the Great Tribulation, according to the general Reconstruction post-millennialist. Yeah, right.
Why you got your chart up there?
Mm-hmm.
So Satan is bound after the tribulation, which is referred to as 70 AD.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they really don't know when he's going to be bound then. Because he's not bound right now.
They think he's bound right now.
They think he's bound now.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're in 1,000 years now,
right,
with his view.
Sure, yes.
Okay.
So when do you think?
When would he have been bound? Because if it was right after AD 70, obviously that was more than 1,000 years ago.
Right. And so the Reconstruction post-millennialists, they're going to think that it's a symbolic 1,000 years.
Oh, okay.
Still, the Puritan post-millennialists is going to believe there's a present age, and then the last 1,000 years is going to be the golden age.
Okay.
Okay.
So
yeah.
It's either kind of they don't have a specific time when it starts, or it's something that still
right.
Going to happen. So
right.
There's no line to draw.
And you could say the Reconstructionists will have it start at 70 AD.
Okay.
But the Puritan...
But it's not an actual
1,000 years. Yeah, it's a symbolic 1,000 years,
okay,
which the Puritan post-millennial are going to have the present age of the kingdom, but then the golden age is the last 1,000 years,
okay,
where it just keeps getting better. And there's some, again, probably some variations in there, and there's some variations of what type of preterist versus how they're going to view some of this too. And there might even be some dual meaning to some of them, where some of them might have the millennium being between the 30 AD to 70 AD period, and then you continue with the kingdom fully begins. But it just kind of depends on that. That's kind of a rare take. It kind of depends on which one you look at. Yes, this is kind of the most modern. If you're post-millennial, you're probably going to view more of this, the Reconstructionist view, not necessarily the Puritan view or that the millennium was prior to 70 AD view.
Do they have an idea, or like, is there a signal when Satan is bound? Are they going to know?
Well, and so these guys think he has been bound then. And so, and we're going to look at some passages here. But
he was bound and is currently bound.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
They think basically that he's bound because of the church, but they think the church started after 70 AD. The kingdom started.
The church started, the kingdom fully began. It's almost a little bit, I think, from what I can understand, it's almost a little bit like the new covenant fully beginning as according to premillennialists, where yes, we're in the new covenant, but it's not fully taken effect until the Jews, literal Jews, are a part of it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that what they're going to say, as we can come back to that in a second, but when it begins, they're going to have their passages of why it begins. And I think from my conclusion of what they think is because the nations didn't fully come in until after that. It wasn't full on all the nations. It was only Israel was still alive. It was still not in the way, but they were still there. Okay, and that's kind of what I'm kind of concluding that they're concluding with, because it's really, I've looked at a few couple of them, and they're really not 100% clear. Even though the chart is there, they're not 100% clear from the ones I looked at. They don't definitely say, yes, it started then. Because they believe that the new covenant is what in Christ's blood, and the new covenant began, and the kingdom did begin, but I think that it's not fully focused on the kingdom millennium beginning until 70 AD.
Yeah. One thing I've heard about that is that you know, the church, I believe the church started on Acts 2, but then what they say is then it started again for the Gentiles
Cornelius.
Mm-hmm. And then so what they're saying is that gap, I mean, they just take that gap and just mm-hmm. say that's it has to be after the 70 AD, you know, so that
yeah.
it's all the same time period.
Yeah.
They're saying.
And what it could be to their defense is the kingdom started in Acts 2.
Yeah.
The millennium didn't start until 70 AD.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's where, because the millennium is dealing with Gentiles, not Jews,
yeah.
Is kind of what my thoughts on what they, my conclusion on what I've read about
yeah.
what they think.
So what church groups are associated with premillennialists, or do you
of postmillennial? There's going to be a lot of different variations, not necessarily. I mean, there's some Church of Christ that think that, and some Christian church that believe that. But there's going to be like a lot of, you know, like Reformed churches or something. You know, maybe Methodists in some cases. You know, it probably it is. It's not maybe specifically dependent on denomination, but you're not going to get. And you can have some evangelicals, but you're not going to get Catholics. Catholics are all millennial.
Yeah.
But you're going to get some Methodists, probably some Lutherans, probably some evangelical different forms, you
but
know.
They wouldn't be the norm.
No, not the norm, no. Yeah, it's probably going to be, it's not going to be more, your evangelical, Baptist, stuff like that, like they're going to be mostly premillennial, where you get your, they're going to be a little more conservative. Postmillennial are going to be a little more conservative, I think, as well, as far as the group itself. And so there's not like a denomination that necessarily thinks that. It's just a kind of a belief that's throughout that.
You mentioned Puritans. I
think it's called Puritan Postmillennial.
Okay, so
and that's just
that
the term.
It,
well, I'm not sure for sure on the Puritan, and maybe that was, but
yeah.
I think mostly that's just defining a type of postmillennial thinking where you have your present age and then that last 1,000 years is the golden age. Where the Reconstruction and postmillennial are going to think it's symbolic 1,000 years, but it's gradually getting better throughout that time. There's the golden age is it's getting better and better throughout.
So those guys are pretty much lining themselves now. Yeah.
What's that?
Those guys are pretty much lining themselves now, getting better and better all the time.
Yeah. Well, and that's why if you go back to the chart. That's why the line is up, and then it goes back down, and then it's up and back down, and up and back down.
Right.
because it rises and there's bad times, and it rises more and there's bad times, and there's, you know, and so that's what, so they're probably, to their defense, how they're going to probably view it is it's going to be, it was tough during the Jewish time, or tough during, after the Jewish time, because there's Domitian and the Romans were persecuting them, and there was a takeoff, and then there was suffering, and there was a takeoff, and then you had Catholicism and a suffering, and then you had a takeoff again, you know, with maybe Luther coming in or whatever, or Tyndale and those guys printing Bibles and stuff like that, so that people could actually read, and so that there's that takeoff again. There's the downward again spiral, and then there's America. You got America, so there's that takeoff, and there's that getting better, and then you're getting into this depravity again. So it just goes up and down, gradually going up, but has those setbacks once in a while, is what they're going to say. Right, and so yeah,
that's
yeah.
Cool, looking back through history, you can pick out things to fill those
right
those mm-hmm. boxes if you want. Yeah.
Right,
to, you know, mm-hmm. and like now, if you say, well, things aren't going so good, you just say, well, we must be in a low time. Yeah. It's going to be,
right.
you know, so mm-hmm. you can always fill that. It
right,
looks like
yes, however you want.
However you want, okay. mm-hmm. you can pull whatever.
So. And it's a little bit like premillennialist in the way that. You don't have to have the definite answer because it could be getting better.
Right.
You're saying, you know, premillennialist, it's like, well, you can kind of, it's getting bad now, and there's the times here. But you really don't have to, like, well, you don't know the day or the hour. But
right.
And so you can kind of keep preaching that, but it's still not actually being fulfilled because, well, it could be 1,000 years.
It was much more of a bigger view in, like, the 19th century than it is
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
But like some of the stuff that I looked up now, talking about it kind of really went downhill by the end of the First World War.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that probably was because people were like, well, it's not getting better.
Right.
Even though it's a dip. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that's kind of, there was big turning points in the amount of people that believe it looks like.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you have premillennialists being pretty prominent. Start. Coming in hard then, and especially in the 50s when that came in hard. And so, was that? Yeah.
I mean, if we really want to know for sure, we should see what Facebook says.
Yeah.
Then we know for sure.
Should have to look at Google.
And so, yeah, that's what it's, where you have premillennialism coming in pretty hot then. You had your historical premillennialism that was going to be kind of in competition with postmillennialists before the 40s and during that time, but then the new premillennialism, I can't think of the term now. Dispensational premillennialism comes in pretty hard in the 50s with Pentecost, Dwight Pentecost and Tim LaHaye and stuff like that. So,
and I guess I'd make a prediction too. And of course, it's going to depend on, you know, when Christ returns too, obviously. Mm-hmm. But these ideas that are here now, I mean, 100, 200, 300 years from now, they'll be gone,
yeah.
and there'll be some other ideas probably.
Mm-hmm.
It really won't work for the time frame, so then they'll kind of build a new one.
Right.
That's kind of been going on since the beginning of the church, really.
Because, like, post-millennium, there was really nothing about it until, like, the 1600s, was
it? Well, I mean, they all can say that
they're
all going to do it, but I'm not sure. I think probably about 1650, I think, and I think that guys like Campbell... And those guys are all millennial, but like the post millennial was probably roughly around then, and they are going to that your old post millennial will be then, and that's probably why you get into your Reconstruction post millennial now, where it's a little different view than the Puritan post millennial, and it kind of faded out during World War II. Now you got your Reconstruction post millennial that can have some of those dips in that and still kind of keep going. You know, where the premillennial, I don't know if it's going to fade out. You know, I guess it's really dispensational premillennialist has been only 70 years
Maybe
now, I guess.
It'll fade out, but it'll change.
It'll change, yeah.
Back mm-hmm. different ideas.
Different things, yeah. And so, because when Christ doesn't come for a few years, you know, if he doesn't, then, I mean, when he does, they'll know. But when he doesn't.
They'll start having doubt in their,
right.
in their belief, also, they'll.
Right.
And the sad thing is, instead of maybe. Seeing the truth, they'll more than likely probably change their belief to some other
right.
falsehood to fit their narrative.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of what Satan does. So.
Right.
It seems like the postmillennial idea is built on scripture more than the premillennial one. Yes,
it is, because and it'll be built on scripture, and they actually have, like, I could get behind some postmillennial stuff if there is other scripture that didn't contradict some of it, but it definitely does a lot more than premillennial
there,
for
there's
me.
There's some hints of truth there.
Yeah. Right.
It looks like.
Actually. Yeah.
What's that? Still very mid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're gonna be like a replacement theology where the church replaces Judaism.
Yes.
And so, and I don't know, you know, and it might be more so that the rise and fall is the culture, not necessarily the church, but then it could also be the church as well, because there's obviously a lot of fallen away, you know, in their mind, fallen away congregations as well. But yeah, it would be similar to those times where they're going through, it's just different in that it's not one nation like it was then, where it's the church now, which can be multiple nations within. Okay, so some of the reason that they're going to think that it starts in 70 AD, and we got a couple slides here that we'll kind of go through. They're going to think it's after 70 AD, and some reasons why, and let's turn over to Psalm 147. Psalm 147. And the even though the kingdom would have started and the new covenant would have started, the millennium wouldn't necessarily start until after the destruction of Jerusalem. And so a few things here in Psalm 147, 19 and 20. So I want to read that, please.
He declares his words to Jacob. He statutes and his ordinances to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation, and as his ordinances, they have not known them. Praise the Lord.
Okay, so part of the reason why they're going to think here is that, so prior to Christ's death, God didn't protect any of the nations. Okay, he has not dealt with the nations, according to verse 20. Amos chapter 3, if you want to turn there, is another passage that, it's interesting that I have had both premillennial and postmillennials use. I've seen them both use this passage, both for different purposes. So it's interesting, even though they have the same passages used, it's still different. And I'll use the same passages that they will and have a different view as well. But verse 2 of Amos 3, someone want to read that, please. Okay, so premillennialists will use this verse to talking about that he has only chose Israel, and that's why they're against replacement theology. Postmillennialists is going to use this and talk about that God had only chosen Israel prior to Christ's death. Okay, and so the Israel was protected, the nations were not. In Luke 4, if you want to turn ahead there, please. Luke chapter 4, someone wants to read verse 5 through 7.
And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours.
Okay, so Satan offering all the kingdoms to Christ, he did that in his, when he tempted him, because they were under his control, which is showing a difference. And this is what the postmillennialists will say, is that it was only the Jews prior to, and he protected them. And it was Satan who offered Christ that after, and he had dominion over the nations, the rest of the nations. Okay, so God, so Satan wasn't it's kind of going back a little bit to Satan being bound. Okay, Satan wasn't bound prior to, he had control over the nations prior to, is what how they're going to say. And then after that, when he, because he offered them, but then if you turn over to Matthew 12. They're gonna use this passage here because Jesus has bound the strong man, and taken him out of the way, so that the rest of the nations are not under his control. So I want to read verse 28 and 29 of Matthew 12. Okay, so Satan is bound because Jesus first binds him, and he casts out demons by the Spirit of God, so the kingdom of God has come. Okay, and that's what they're going to reference there, is that God protected Israel prior. He didn't protect the nations. That's why Satan offered the nations to Jesus when he tempted him, because they were under his dominion. And so now Satan is bound because Jesus took him and bound him. And so there, the millennial kingdom then, we'll continue on there in Psalm chapter 22, if you want to turn back there. So the millennium then is extended to the rest of mankind because Jesus has bound Satan. And so even though he is bound at his death, they're going to reference back to all the nations, as I kind of mentioned before, and I'll conclude what in a second here. But he's referring back to, since all the nations are going to come into until all the nations come into it, the millennium really didn't start, is my conclusion of what they think, I guess. Let's read here in Psalm 22, verse 27 and 28.
Kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations.
Okay, so the kingdom be extended to the rest of mankind there. And if we go to Habakkuk chapter 2, Habakkuk's real small. Real small book in the back of the Old Testament. So back in chapter 2, verse 14, if somebody want to read that, please.
For the earth will find with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Okay, so there, the earth, where prior to the old covenant, prior to the new covenant, Satan had control over the rest of the earth. And it was only Israel. And so now this prophecy of the earth being filled with the knowledge of the Lord is when the Gentiles and the rest of the nations are going to be brought in to the kingdom. Psalm chapter 110, if you turn back there. Psalm chapter 110, verse 1. So I want to read that, please. Okay, so post-millennialists, again, are gonna think that the millennium began when Jesus ascended. He's sitting at the right hand, so Jesus is now reigning, and the millennium has begun. Matthew chapter 28, you want to turn ahead to there, please. So I want to read verse 19, please. Okay, so the gospel was to go to all the nations then. So in kind of conclusion of why they think that the millennium begins in 70 AD, My understanding of it is since the gospel didn't initially go to all the nations, the millennium didn't fully begin until after Jerusalem fell. Okay, even though the gospel was going to be preached to all the nations prior to that, that is kind of the line that they have there, as you see on some of those timelines. That's why that is there in reference in the passages that we looked at in Psalm 22 and for in Psalm. Psalm 110, Habakkuk chapter 2, where all the earth is filled with the glory of the Lord, or the kingdom is extended to the nations, or prior to the old covenant, only Israel was protected, and that's why Satan could offer that to Jesus, all the nations to Jesus. And so now, Satan being bound, now that gospel can go to them. And so since the nations didn't initially in Acts 2, that's against my conclusion of what I've kind of studied from some of them is that is why the millennium didn't begin in Acts 2. Okay, yes, the kingdom might have kind of began, but it didn't usher in until 70 AD when the nations, because it was prophesied about the nations, not about, you know, I mean, Israel wasn't out of the way, if you will. So it was prophesied about the nations. The gospel wasn't going to all the nations. Christ is reigning spiritually. Again, they think it's a spiritual reign, and it's going to be not a literal 1,000 years. Again, this is more of a reconstructionist view here. And so that is why the millennium, that's why they have that millennium beginning then, okay, if that makes sense. And so that's kind of my conclusion from that. Does anybody have any... Oh, yes, yeah. Anybody have any comments on that?
I guess I'd be curious what the thought would be on all the churches and all the work that Paul did prior to AD 70, you know, with all his journeys and all the churches that were established. So with this mindset here, they would not be basically in the kingdom at that point.
I think that they're going to say that they're in the kingdom. They're going to say that the millennium didn't begin.
That's prior to the millennium. Okay. Right. That makes
sense. And
they're pre and
post millennial. There you go. Yeah. Well, and I think that they're going to, and kind of what they're, it's still, post millennialism is still a physical mindset, even though it doesn't necessarily, even though they have the kingdom being, the millennium being spiritual and the kingdom being spiritual. They still, I think, is why that they have to have that is that the Jews are still there, and until they're completely taken out of the way, the church isn't full progress. Okay, and that, I think that's why they're gonna hold to that more, and that's why they're a lot of them are preterist or hyper preterist, because that's where the preterism is dealing with Revelation or Matthew 24, dealing with the Jews. That's why the coming of Jesus in Revelation 1 is Jesus coming back to destroy Jerusalem, not physically coming back. And all the tribes that see him are the Jews, not the rest of the tribes of the earth. But that's kind of how they kind of say that there. And so so they're going to say that, or they're going to go about it and that way because it's still kind of a physical mindset because that has to be taken out of the way for it to actually be on earth. And so when you get into next week where we talk about the kingdom expanding, because they really take literal Daniel chapter 2 where the kingdom is going to fill the whole earth, the mountain that's there, and it fills the whole earth, that's literal. Okay, it's not a physical kingdom, but it's literally happening on earth. And so that's why they have to have the Judaism, from what I can see. That's why I think that they have to have the Judaism taken out of the way before the millennium can begin fully.
So they would not deny that the early Gentiles were part of the kingdom.
Right.
That was prior to the
it just wasn't
the millennium.
Right. It just was prior to the start of the millennium. And then you have some, again, that are going to think that the millennium age is between 30 and 70 A.D., or the last week of Daniel is the 3.5 years, the 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry, and then the 3.5 years prior to the destruction of Jerusalem. And so there's all those different variations within there, but that's kind of why. So that then that ends, and then a different age begins. Okay, and so some of the charts that have is that they'll have the the after the fall of Jerusalem, they'll have in their chart the present age. And so it's the, when Jesus were to say, I can't remember off the top of my head an exact quote, but he talks about like something in this age or the age to come. They reference in the millennium age before Jerusalem's destroyed and then the age to come. And so that's kind of, I think, what they're saying there. And so you can get a lot of post-millennial and preterists that don't make sense, just like premillennials do. But they do, of course, premillennials are going to have a ton of scripture as well. But the post-millennial, I guess in my mind, obviously, because I'm not premillennial, I'm not completely post-millennial either, but there are some things that make more sense to me in a post-millennial doctrine than a premillennial doctrine.
So do they want Jerusalem to be annihilated?
I don't know if they don't think that it needs to be back. I think, as I'm kind of studying there, I think that they think that there is a turning of the Jews later on. And so it's not necessarily that they don't care for the Jews, but God is going, it's going to naturally happen because it's in the golden age or whatever that's getting better and better and better. Because by the time, before Jesus comes back, most of the world is going to be Christian. And so that's what they think, that's why they have that progressive line that gets better and better until the end. Okay, any other comments or anything? Okay, I'll stop there and pick up next week.